Good morning, Chair. At last count, three members. Okay, there's four with Mr. Sarupan. Dr. George is about to join. So we need one more.
Okay.
Six members now, Ms. Abrams joined.
Okay. Thanks very much. The meeting is officially open. Honorable members, you are welcome. The Standing Committee Finance Support Team, Treasury, I'm not sure if the Deputy Minister is here or who is leading the delegation. You are all welcome. SARS, PBO, other officials from Parliament and from other entities of entities that report to National Treasury, you are all welcome. Let's also welcome the media and the public in general. Are there apologies, Alan?
Yes, Chair. Apologies from Mr. Vessels.
Okay. Also, I received a message last night from Teboho Spanya, the secretary who works with Allen. As a family, they have lost the mother who was not well. She passed on around 5 yesterday, so she won't be with us. As this standing committee, we pass a message of condolence to Teboho and the entire family for the loss of the old lady, our mother. May God be with them. Thanks. Let's move to the business of the day. Item 2 will be receiving a response by National Treasury to the submissions received on the financial sector and the deposit insurance levies bill, B3-2022, and the financial sector and deposit insurance levies, administration and deposit insurance premiums bill, B4-2022. Over to you, Treasurer.
Thank you, Chair. I will be taking us through the comments that we've received, Chair, and maybe at the outset just to thank the input that we've received from members of the public. It's been really useful in shaping some of our thinking. And where necessary, we have made those adjustments. Chair, I'm joined today by members from the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, as well as colleagues from the Prudential Authority and the Corporation for Deposit Insurance. In addition, from National Treasury, Chair, I am joined by Janine, who leads our legislative unit, and who will take us through some of the comments in more detail. Chair, I thought I'd just start off by reiterating and dealing with the broad themes of the comments, the limited comments that we've got, three being and three in total, through the parliamentary process. And I thought it would just be useful just to underscore some of the guiding principles in our responses as well as just reminding the committee of the underpinnings of our approach. Chair, most of the comments really relate to the level of the levies, as well as in some instances some comments around possible duplication between the levy and aspects of the special levy. I would just like to maybe just reiterate, Chair, that the levies payable to the PA and FISCA will not be a duplication. The two authorities are separate, and each one has its own objectives and functions. This, Chair, is consistent with the approach adopted by this committee in the Financial Sector Regulation Act. The levies are imposed to fund their operations in pursuit of fulfilling their mandates. The approach that has been adopted is that the levies will be imposed for each of the different licensed activities undertaken by a supervised entity. One fundamental principle, Chair, is that that's also been adopted is that of cost recovery. As the industry would be aware, the authorities are not a profit-making organizations. The reasons for imposing the levies is to recover the cost involved in the regulation of that sector. The notion of the levies that are currently paid to either authority should simply be split between the PA and the FISCA will not work. And it also means that the authorities will not be able, to fully cover the cost of their activities consistent with their individual mandates. The formulation of the levies is such that the smaller institutions will pay less compared to the larger ones. This is a progressive principle, Chair, and one that is consistent with competition objectives and financial inclusion objectives. The base amount is that is payable by a new entrant, as an example, is set at a threshold that does not make the levy a barrier to entry. Concerning the issue of a special levy in particular, Chair, this will be imposed in respect to the first levy years. The special levy was initially 15% and has since been reduced to 7.5%, which is a balance between ensuring the authorities have the adequate resources to set up and execute their mandates, as well as acquire the systems required to effectively discharge their responsibilities. The authorities will be fully funded by the industry, and in this case, in the case of the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, all their costs will be covered by the contributions to the levy, while the Reserve Bank will continue to fund a portion of the PA's total costs from its own resources, which is a slight subsidy. What the PA will recover from the industry are direct costs, indirect costs, which are estimated at 40% of the total costs funded by the Reserve Bank. Therefore, there are no duplication of costs. It is also understood, Chair, that financial hardships may be experienced as a result of unique events, like the one we're currently living through, the pandemic, for instance. As noted above, Chair, the authorities are empowered to grant exemptions from the payment of all or part of levies in circumstances set out in Clause 11 of the Bill. On the basis of that principle, underlying the charging of levies on a cost recovery basis, this mechanism can be considered an important support mechanism to allow an accommodation for the industry in exceptional circumstances. It should be noted, Chair, that the FISCA will receive considerably less from the insurance industry than it currently collects. National Treasury notes concerns by some commentators and consider the likelihood that the levies will be passed on to market participants and ultimately the investors. Chair, the way that the levies are structured is such that, as I've reiterated earlier, is such that a supervised entity is charged on the basis of the activities-based And we believe, Chair, that this aspect will help reduce the likelihood that the levies are passed on to market participants, or in the very least, Chair, make it clear what aspects and how much in relation to specific activities that individual institutions will be paying for. And this transparency, I think, is an important aspect to reducing cross-subsidization and aligning costs for particular products and benefits. Chair, let me stop there and pass over to my colleague Janine, who will take us through the comments in detail and in relation to the specific comments that we received. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, and thank you very much for the opportunity to present to the committee this morning. And we also thank very much the stakeholders who've provided submissions to the committee. And, you know, we greatly appreciate the inputs which help to strengthen the legislation that's ultimately finalized and enacted by Parliament. So in light of the introductory comments from Vukile, I will go with specific comments that have been presented to the committee submissions, and then we will also briefly note in an annexure document that we've prepared comments that we also received from other stakeholders in light of a process where the bills were published for comment on the National Treasury website. And we received some additional comments on the website, so we wanted to take note of those. And a few of those comments have informed some proposed revisions that we would recommend that the committee would consider in its deliberations. So I will just share the comments matrix. Just one moment. So there were comments received from three main stakeholders: the Financial Intermediaries Association of Southern Africa, the South African Insurance Association, and Strait. So the first comment related to the definition for supervised entities. And so and it noted that perhaps the scope of the definition was broader than the scope of the actual entities who are going to, in fact, be subject to the imposition of levies. And in light of that comment, we would propose a minor revision to the definition of supervised entity and to align the scope of the definition to specifically those entities who are listed in the schedules to the bill as being of the types of entities who would be subject to be paying levies. Then the next comment related to that since the establishment of the Prudential Authority in 2018 and the Financial Sector Conduct Authority at that time, then the levies that had been paid to the Financial Sector Conduct Authority had been split between the two authorities, and it is submitted that this sort of approach should be continued. And the response would be that, you know, the comments noted, but it is paramount that the regulation and supervision of the financial sector is appropriately and adequately funded so that the regulators can execute their mandates effectively. And there are certainly costs that result from ensuring effective regulation. And it is noted, as Bukele highlighted, that the Financial Sector Conduct Authority would be fully funded through levies, but the Reserve Bank would provide some funding for the Prudential Authority for part of its funding. And then the Prudential Authority needs to cover various costs. Both authorities do, and in fact, the types of costs that are covered are not a duplication between the two authorities. And also, it is noted that, you know, in circumstances such as, you know, where there's the pandemic or other various circumstances, the regulators are empowered to grant exemptions in terms of Clause 11 of the bill. And so, you know, the regulators are empowered to take into consideration circumstances of individual entities and categories of entities to enable, you know, the levels of, to take into account relevant circumstances so that the overall imposition of levies is appropriate and proportionate, but still covers the costs of the that are necessary for regulation. Then there was a comment about the amount of the special levies, and it was noted that, you know, the level of the levy has been reduced from what was originally proposed in previous versions of the bill that were circulated for comment. And it is noted what the purposes of the levies, not only are they for the establishment of the bill, of the regulators, but they're also to cover some additional expenses that are necessary for the regulators during this sort of relatively initial period for the regulators. And there are certain important projects that are still being established and functions in the regulators for which there are additional initial costs. And another comment on the special levies is that it is highlighted, you know, it is noted again that this is a temporary period that the special levy will be imposed for, and it will only, so it's not a permanent levy, and it has been reduced from the initial proposals, and it's submitted that there is a balance between ensuring that adequate resources are available for the establishment and development of key processes and staff components, et cetera, in the regulators. And so, there have been additional startup costs that have been very significant in the establishment of the authorities, particularly the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. So there had been, in fact, some deficits in this financial year. And so the special levy will assist to cover those additional costs that need to be recouped at this stage. The next comment relates to the special levy. The comment is similar and notes the amount of the levy that would be payable by Strait, who made the submission. And again, a similar response is made that, you know, for the purpose of the special levy and the amount and its importance. Then the next clause that was commented upon was Clause 11, which relates to exemptions from levies. And so it's noted that the authorities are empowered to grant exemptions from the payment of all or part of a levy. And it was noted that having for each individual firm needing to have to make a specific application for an exemption on an individual basis, you know, could be rather burdensome to individual financial institutions. And it only allows exemptions in sort of exceptional circumstances, and it doesn't make provision for dual regulation circumstances where certain entities might be regulated by even other regulators, such as the Council for Medical Schemes, as well as the Prudential and Conduct Authorities. And so this was highlighted in relation to the circumstances of intermediaries. And so in light of this comment, we've proposed that the wording could be amended slightly to allow that an exemption could be granted not only on application by an individual financial institution, but also if the regulators identified that perhaps there were circumstances which justified that there could need to be an exemption from all or part of the levy for some institutions, then the authorities could grant exemptions to either an individual institution, as is currently provided in the provision, or to a category of institutions. Well, this would sort of broaden the flexibility to exercise the discretion, and so it is proposed, you know, to enable a bit more flexibility in the granting of exemptions so that appropriate imposition of the levies could be better facilitated. So there are some minor revisions proposed to Clause 11 of the bill, both in relation to the FSCA, the Prudential Authority, and the Corporation for Public Deposits in relation to the deposit insurance levies. And then the next comment is by Strait in relation to the Central Securities Depository. And it highlights the amount of levies that it would be subject to pay in terms of the schedule as they currently stand. And then it sets out what the total amount payable would be. And while there has been some reduction in the variable amount of the fee has been reduced, but the proposed maximum amount of the fee would be a bit higher than was in previously tabled versions of the bill. And then they set out some specific figures based on 2020 figures, and they concluded that the proposed maximum levy is very high, and it's not clear why it has been increased, and they request that it be considered. And then they further submitted that the levies that would be imposed by the Prudential Authority and the FSCA should be viewed collectively, as they have to be paid by a single supervised entity. So there would be Strait, for example, would be paying four separate amounts to the two regulators. And then this could reach and then they indicate what the maximum amount reached could be. And so they indicate this is higher than what they are currently paying. So in response, it's indicated that the proposed maximum, it is noted that the proposed maximum fee would be higher, but it does follow a comprehensive rationalization of the levies to financial market infrastructures, and the authority adjusted the various levies in following comments that were received on previous versions of the bill. And then that was the how the final amounts that were indicated in the current schedules were determined. And the adjustments of levies were made to ensure that different classes of financial market infrastructures are charged a levy on the basis of their nature, size, and in certain instances, the quarterly maximum levy was reduced. And Strait is also licensed as an associated clearinghouse, and so there was some reduction in relation to those levies. And the principal basis on which the levies are structured is that a supervised entity is charged a separate levy based on the licensed activities performed. And the Twin Peaks approach to regulation is that there are two separate regulators, and so they have different separate regulatory responsibilities, and the levies are imposed, to enable that both of the regulators are fully able to perform their operations and fulfill their objectives appropriately. And market infrastructures are particularly critical to ensure financial stability, and given the close relationship between microprudential and macroprudential regulation, the approach is to overall to ensure there's proper oversight to ensure the safety and soundness of market infrastructures. And there is the Prudential Authority assesses market infrastructures based on various international principles, and the authorities assess the institutions perhaps through different lenses in accordance with their respective mandates. And so, both authorities then need to be properly capacitated to fully fulfill their mandates. And then, similarly, in relation to the subsequent comment on, the maximum set out in the bill in relation to associated clearinghouse, a similar response is provided. And then in relation to looking at the annual report for Strait, it's noted that looking at its operating costs for 2020, the levels payable to both the Prudential Authority and the FSCA for the levies constituted about 4%. And when taking into account revenue, it's about 0.3%. And so, it's relevant to consider the costs and the level of the costs in light of that context. So, continuing further, the next comment is that it has been indicated that the purpose of the proposed levies for the Prudential Authority is to cover the prudential regulation of the supervised entity. And it would, in principle, seem irrational and unfair to introduce two separate levies for a single entity, given that only one entity will be prudentially reviewed, notwithstanding that it carries two market infrastructure licenses. And this is in relation to the schedule for the Prudential Authority. The principal reiterated that levies are imposed in relation to different licensed activities that each entity is imposing. And so, this is the overall approach, to ensure that there's overall resources for regulation and supervision in relation to all of the various activities that are performed, even if one entity is performing multiple activities, then there's costs of regulation that are associated with that. So that needs to be considered in an appropriate approach for the imposition of levies. And a similar response is made in relation to the next comment. So you know, a lot of the points are reiterated in relation to some of the various comments, and I think these have been highlighted by Kile and in the previous responses. And then, so then we will move on to Schedule 2, which relates to comments on Schedule 2, which relate to the Financial Sector Conduct Authority levies. One comment that was made is that in the description of columns for non-life and life insurers, there was a technical correction that should be made because this reflected that the most recent quantitative return template submitted, the return templates are in fact submitted to the Prudential Authority and not the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. And so it is proposed that that should be corrected. And this, when looking at the schedules, it was identified that this correction should be made in a few of the blocks in the Schedule 2 in the description of variable columns. So, in relation to the non-life insurer, and it was also picked up that there were some formatting corrections in relation to some formulas in the schedules. So some of the formulas had got misformatted so that they would not perhaps be correctly interpreted because, you know, whereas some of the, there was some line spacing that was incorrect in the formulas because of formatting. So we're proposing a number of corrections in that regard. And similarly, in the row for life insurance, in the description of variables in that column, and a correction in the formula to, in that column, in that row for life insurers to enable a formatting correction is proposed. And similarly, the formulas are proposed to be corrected in the rows for pension funds administration and some of the collective investment schemes formulas and variables. There's some formatting corrections just to add line returns at appropriate spots where they ended up getting deleted in the printed tabled version of the bill. Then the next comment from Saia indicates that it's a query that says, considering the number of representatives will be calculated using the average total number of key individuals plus the average total number of representatives, they would request clarity as to how those averages will be calculated and confirmed prior to invoicing. And the number of key individuals is calculated by adding the number of key individuals for the period 1 September to 31 August each year and dividing that. And the information will be detailed on an assessment that will be provided in terms of Section 242. Then the next comment relates to the maximum in the draft bill for the Central Securities Depository. This is basically a repetition of another submission comment by Strait, which has largely been addressed above. And another comment from Strait was that the FSCA notice did not contain any levy on clearinghouses or associated clearinghouses, and Strait has always paid levies in its capacity as a central securities depository, notwithstanding its license as an associated clearinghouse for bonds. It's noted that historically the FSCA did not impose a separate levy for associated clearinghouses, but as explained above, the approach that is being adopted is that for separate activities, separate levies are imposed. And the next comment is of a similar nature. And in relation to this next comment about the proportionality of the levies that are imposed, it's highlighted that, in fact, proportionality has been taken into consideration, and that the total levies that will be paid to both authorities account for 4% of the total operating costs and 0.3% of the operating revenue. And proportionality, measured either by the size of the financial institution or the value of trades, is used to determine the quantum of levies to be charged in a manner that ensures that the authorities are sufficiently funded to execute their mandates. The measures that have been used in the formulas are a proxy for size, and the authorities are of the view that the methodology used is appropriate and provides a balance between smaller and larger players. And National Treasury notes the comparison that Strait makes with regards to banks, and it's noted that while financial market infrastructures will contribute 6% towards the funding of the Prudential Authority, banks will contribute 61% of the funding, and insurers will contribute 31%. And it's also noted that there will be some subsidization of indirect costs of the Prudential Authority by the Reserve Bank. And also, it's noted that banks also, in addition to paying levies to the Prudential and Financial Sector Conduct Authorities, will also be paying a deposit insurance premium. So that's also relevant to consider in comparing the implications of the levies for the two types of institutions. In relation to a couple of the comments from FIASA, one of the comments says that while we recognize the feedback provided in the response to comments on the February 2021 levies bill, we specifically note the comment that the increased levy in levy is largely due to the necessity to fund the financial sector bodies separately, as intermediaries do not fall within the jurisdiction of the Prudential Authority directly. It remains unclear as to why such high costs are necessary. And it's noted that levies are not charged in terms of Schedule 1 in relation to intermediaries as a category. So there is not a charge for prudential regulation for intermediaries. And then in the next comment, it's noted that intermediaries had suffered a significant loss of income recently in relation to the pandemic. And then they expressed concerns that increased regulation could mean that some small and medium-sized businesses may no longer be able to continue to doing business. And intermediaries are the gateway to entrepreneurship, development, and consumer advice and product education within this in the sector. And they note that serious consideration needs to be given to the need to stop, the need to develop SMMEs in order to stimulate economic growth. And they submit that the proposed levies make entry into the markets prohibitive. And in response, the comment is noted, and it's also highlighted that, you know, specific mitigating circumstances, such as in relation to the pandemic and other circumstances, would be certainly relevant and, you know, could be considered, and these types of circumstances can be potentially addressed through exemptions that might be granted through applications in terms of the bill. So, you know, various circumstances can potentially be considered and taken account of in overall determining, you know, whether or not an exemption should be granted. And it's highlighted in response to the rationale, in the request for some rationale behind the determination of the levies and the modeling, etc. The principle underpinning the charging of the levies is cost recovery. And so that has really provided the foundation on which the determination of the levies was finalized. One further comment was highlighting that the proposed levies would have a negative impact on the investing public. And there would be a cumulative effect of the costs, you know, for the investing public and customers could be required to be bearing those significantly higher levies that are, for example, well, that straight indicates are would be imposed on it. And they query whether this could have an impact on affordability on investors, and it's submitted that this implication should be carefully considered. So the Treasury disagrees that the proposed levies will have a negative impact on the investing public. The levy formula has a maximum that can be charged regardless of the value of the securities traded, cleared, or settled. And the total of levies to both authorities, again, is noted, you know, the proportion of their operational costs and total costs to straight is again highlighted. And assuming that the same number of settlements are concluded and considering the increase in total levies by 6.5 million rand, this would translate to an 86 cent increase per trade. Given the important need to ensure that the regulators are adequately funded to undertake their mandate, as well as the adverse effects of inadequate regulation and supervision on the financial sector, the Treasury is convinced that the level of the proposed levies strikes an important balance. There are high expectations from society that significant institutional and supervisory reform will contribute to safeguarding the stability of the financial sector, including strengthening regulation and supervision. So that concludes the comments that were submitted to the committee. And so Chair, before I briefly go into other comments that informed some proposals that were received by stakeholders in response to the publication of bills on the Treasury's website, perhaps I don't know if the Chair could consider, should I proceed with that, or are there any questions?
If you can proceed, Janine and Vukile. Before you proceed, Alan, you are saying that there is an input that you received from, I forgot, you said from some company or an association. Has it reached the Treasury?
Yes, Chair, that's from the FIA. I got it yesterday. I sent it on to Treasury, but by the looks of it and from the emails I've received from them, it did reach Treasury.
Vogel and Janine, have you received the submission from FIA?
Yes, Chair. And we did include those comments in the comments matrix as we just presented. Thank you. So detailed responses are provided to those comments in the comments matrix that's circulated to the committee.
Okay. You can proceed with the part that you wanted to cover before I open for interaction from members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will just share the other document. Sorry, let me just try again here. So the National Treasury, in response to publication of the bills on its website, received some comments from a number of stakeholders, and we wanted to provide some feedback in this process in relation to those comments as well, especially as a few comments have informed some recommendations that we would like to present for some minor revisions to the bill that the committee could consider. So the first comments here from BASA, they were some technical referencing proposals, but we indicate that it shouldn't be necessary to make those specific references in light of usual drafting practices, and that the terms in question are included in the Financial Sector Regulation Act, and also when referencing in legislation to a section, it's assumed to refer to the section within that piece of legislation, and so it doesn't have to always indicate that for instance, Section 5 of this Act throughout the legislation. It's implied that that is the case, and only if you are referencing to other legislation would you make a reference to the different legislation that's being referred to. The next proposal we touched on in the previous comments matrix, the minor revision to the definition of supervised entity that we would propose. So there were a couple of comments that related to that definition that we that led us to propose that response? We've already, you know, there have been other comments that have already been responded to that have raised, you know, the concern that perhaps there's a duplication in the imposition of levies, and we've highlighted that in fact that isn't the same, you know, there isn't a duplication. The regulators are performing different functions, and so this is, you know, that the overall costs and levies that are imposed is appropriate or to capacitate the regulators to perform their functions and mandates. And it's also noted that in relation to insurers, you know, there, well, the special levy has been reduced, that was noted before, and also there is the potential, again, for exemptions to be considered in appropriate circumstances, you know, to try and ensure that the overall imposition of levies is proportionate and appropriate. In relation to this comment regarding the assessments, it is noted that, you know, the dates on which levies will be imposed will be communicated timeously, so that then all entities will be clear when they will be required to pay the levies. One other comment that's relevant to consider is that was queried whether if an entity had its license withdrawn or cancelled during a levy period or levy year, and the levy for that period or year had already been paid, would there be a pro rata refund of the amount for the period in which they would no longer be a holder of a license? And it is confirmed that there would be a pro rata payment, and we've proposed some minor an addition of a provision in regulations 3 and 9 to clarify that. And then another query was relating to the provision for the amendment of schedules. And it was queried whether there would be any comment period prior to the tabling of a proposed amended schedule in Parliament during that process. And we've agreed that there would be a comment period. And so we have proposed wording to provide for a comment period of 30 days prior to an amended schedule being tabled in Parliament for approval. And we noted the refinements to the exemptions of levies to enable a bit more discretion to be granted. And then some other technical comments are proposed in the Schedule 2, just to align with wording in other schedules and technical corrections. And so I think that covers basically the major refinements that we would propose. And I think we've covered the main comments and issues that were raised by stakeholders. And so we've circulated to the committee a draft list of proposed amendments for consideration and a version of the bill that indicates those proposed amendments in the context of the legislation as they would be potentially reflected in the B bill. And this can perhaps assist members in preparation for further consideration of the bill. So that concludes the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Vukile and Janine. Let's come to the item of members asking clarity, seeking questions, and making comments. Honourable members, are there clarity, seeking questions, or comments that you would like to make? Vukile and Janine, while waiting for other members to make clarity seeking questions and make comments, let me ask two questions. Question one, the impact of what we are discussing here. We are talking levies. By the way, we are talking money in simple terms. How will all these levies that we are talking about going to affect the consumers of these products, the clients of insurance companies? Say, for instance, I, for one, as a member of parliament, and the other two dependents that I have, I pay 10,000 rand for permit. I'm not sure whether that is standard for the medical aid scheme for only three people to pay 10,000 rand. I have not received a salary increase. I'm not complaining. I'm not bargaining. I'm just making a case here. And I think it's the same with public servants and others. Salaries have been increasing and wages for quite some time. Pandemic has affected the economy. Be that as it may, insurance premiums have been increasing. Bond, those who have got housing bonds have been increasing. Petrol price, food inflation have been skyrocketing. So all these levies that we are talking about, are they not going to have an impact on the clients? And above all what I've mentioned and other related matters, school fees, there are parents who are defaulting on school fees, more especially at private schools because they can no longer afford. Two, the financial sector is not yet reformed. I have to be convinced. If it's so, how many black players are there in the financial sector? How will this affect small players or those who have got an interest to get into the sector? Because it looks like just setting up an infrastructure to be in the insurance industry is very expensive. And with all these levies that we are talking about now, will it be possible for small players? Because we have been approached by a group of women and youth. We have got cooperatives. They want to get into the sector, but it's very difficult. To establish a bank in South Africa, if I'm not mistaken, Reserve Bank needs 250 million. All this monies that we are talking about, are we not making it more difficult for the new entrants, more especially the blacks, to get into the financial sector? you will respond to that. I see the end of Dr. George. Over to you, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks very much for the feedback on the comments that were made. The Chairperson has quite comprehensively covered some of the comments I would have wanted to make also. So I'll just talk briefly about the actual fees. Now, these are additional taxes, really. I mean, you know, we can call them levies, whatever, but they are, in fact, additional taxes on the industry. And as was mentioned by the Chairperson, is that our economy is in a very difficult place. And so there is no doubt whatsoever that these taxes are going to be passed on to the consumers. I did hear during the presentation that there was a reduction. There was a mention that there was a 15% and there was a reduction to 7.5% somewhere along, somewhere in that presentation. That's a very significant change. It's a halving, essentially, of the percentage. So that says to me that there must have been a very significant amount of wriggle room. And what I'm concerned about is that how these taxes were actually calculated. I know we had a presentation previously from the FSCA in particular regarding the fact that they're setting up and that they've got startup costs, etc. But we are building a very sophisticated and very expensive system. Whether there could have been a better one or not is not really the point of this discussion, but I do think that's something that needs to be borne in mind, given circumstances have changed very significantly since the financial crisis in 2008, where this all began, as far as I understand. So my question is this to Treasury, is obviously these entities came along and said, I need X amount of money. How did you rigorously interrogate those numbers to make sure that they aren't padded and are absolutely essential? Because, you know, I mean, obviously, if we're going to have a regulator and you're going to have to pay for it, that obviously goes without saying. But certainly in my experience in this committee over a very long time is that the state entities tend to get more expensive than they have to be because they're inefficient. So that's what I'd like to know about that, because, I mean, when we're looking at additional taxes, my view certainly is that we should not be imposing more taxes on or really heavily burdened South African taxpayers. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. George. Over to you, Janine Bukile and the entire team.
Chair, I'll come in on this question and morning colleagues and honourable MPs. Chair, I think, you know, I think the questions that have been asked, I think, are quite important questions and very relevant. But let me say that, you know, this is not a new decision. In fact, we have delayed on how to fund the system for a bit too long. I mean, I remember having legislation even ready in 2017, but we've held back. But from the start, when we created the Twin Peaks, and as Dr. George has touched on the response to the financial crisis, that we've taken a view that the financial sector must be more intrusively regulated. The consideration is that it is quite a unique sector, and certainly when you look at banking and retirement savings and insurance, as you know, the sector relies on making promises. And what was clear was that they were too lightly regulated up to 2008, and that we needed to, on one hand, step up the prudential regulation, and two, step up the way customers were being treated. And we get lots of people who complain about their financial products. Obviously, there are disputes all the time. So it is an expensive approach. If we were just to allow all and sundry to come in and it's merely a system to register and there's low cost, you're going to get lots and lots of ordinary customers who will suffer. So yes, this sector does have pretty strict criteria for entry, no doubt about it. And for some subsectors like banking, Chair, it is extremely complex and money will be lost. And therefore, the regulatory requirements are much tougher. And I think you are right. The issue is, how do you get entry of small players? How do you get to transform the industry? Now, in the early days of the financial sector charter, I think we pointed out that particularly in the banking sector, ownership is something of a bank really needs to be someone with deep pockets, almost by definition, because they're going to be called on to fund the bank when they have any shortage in capital and so on. And if they can't, then their share continues to get watered down. And we had to grapple with those issues. And given that most of your major companies are also listed, I think how you score ownership is quite an important issue, because you'll find that it's mainly institutional investors who come in. Now, that's the large listed companies. I think the question then is what's the role of small players who may not be listed, may be owned by a few? I think those are really important questions to go into. And that's why I think in the financial sector, we've tried to focus not just on ownership, but on management when it comes to transformation. And to look at who runs the company, who are the senior managers, I think those are all important considerations. And who are the new players? Can they come in? And so on. And, I mean, it's certainly always important to have such a discussion. But coming to the regulatory side, Chair, so what we've tried to do is almost also have a risk-rated system. Certainly the bigger ones do end up paying a lot more, and one needs to, and I'm not saying that we've succeeded, one needs to shift the burden on them that they ease entry. And the principle that we've taken is that certainly for the finance sector, it should generally fund for its own supervisory regime that operates. And I've been actually more surprised, Chair, that I actually think it's embarrassing that we have the big players coming to complain that they're paying too much. I think the burden they put on the regulatory side and compared to what's paid, I think, in other comparable jurisdictions, I would be embarrassed to come. And that's why I think some of them are too embarrassed to actually come make presentations, because one can really look at how little they actually pay, some of those who have submitted comments, for example. And to be honest, on the comments, I would be less apologetic about saying, yes, they will be paying more, because in line with the risk that they pose to the economy, they pose to consumers and so on. The point, I guess, Chair, and where you are right, is ultimately companies will transfer the costs into, or the incidence of the cost may be on customers. And that's what we also got to watch, because financial inclusion is an important objective. So I think we're not going to come here pretending that we've got answers. What we've actually done is to look at where we work before Twin Peaks, and bear in mind, and the other technical problem we had, Chair, was there was a whole dispute, not dispute, different interpretations of what are just license fees versus what constitutes a tax. And for that reason, I think we opted just to play safer and to put this as a money bill rather than just as license fees. Because, you know, we got into technical issues of, but some components may be regarded as a form of tax. And I think that would subject us to all kinds of challenges when a company, say, doesn't want to pay towards the regulatory or the fees that we want them to pay. So to sum up, Chair, what I'm saying is we've taken as a base where we were, and so if you look at the old Financial Services Board, they used to have a system where they would charge these institutions. We've used that as a base, but we've also taken into account the additional functions that we've had to take on. And the difficulty with this one has been that, as you can see from the schedule, we've had to do it for different activities. And I'm not saying that we always get the amount of risk right. And certainly over the next few years, we may have to phase in some costs. It will have an impact on customers, but whilst it might have an impact on customers in terms of costs, it will also, and that's the intention, bring in more protection. And that's why if you look at the socioeconomic studies that we've done and so on, that on the whole, this is the huge net benefit for the economy to ensure that we have a safer financial sector. But again, I think all the questions that, Chair, you've asked, that Dr. George has asked, we're not saying it's a closed book and that we have all the answers and we can go into the specifics. I'll ask the team to come in if you want on any of those. But and that's why we've taken comments. But as I said, I've been surprised where the objections have come up. They've not come from small players largely. They've come from the bigger players where, to be honest, I think we would be less sympathetic to what they're asking because I think they've hardly paid much in the past, nowhere near the risk that they pose to the economy. And as you know, there aren't any problems that we have in the financial sector. If we don't have the regulators, there'll be an explosion of problems because the incentives in the structure always work in a way that goes against customers. I don't know if Bukile wants to add or any of the other, Janine or anybody else wants to add.
No, thanks, ma'am. I think you've covered it all from my side.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I see the end of Catherine Gibson. Who's Catherine Gibson, Momo?
She's from the financial. She's the Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Sector Conduct Authority.
Okay. Over to you, Ms. Gibson.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add to what DG reported on. So I think what must also be considered, and it's very important to balance, and we cannot emphasize this enough, is one hand and effectiveness in the regulation, but at the same time, that consumer protection element. So what when we're talking about what we're trying to balance here, it's between making sure that we reduce the regulatory burden and the costs associated with regulation to the extent possible, but at the same time needing to make sure that individuals and users of the financial system are protected. And it is a very complicated space for consumers to operate in, and one where people can really lose their livelihoods. So there is a cost to regulation, but if we think about the ramifications of weak or inefficient or ineffective regulation, and Honourable Honourable Member George was referring to the financial crisis and the fact that we've moved on from that. That's true to a point, but I think certain things have carried on, that the financial system has not got less complex, it's got more complex. So now, since the crisis, we are even dealing with additional challenges relating to the digital space, increased digitalization, new players coming to the space, new business models for existing players, so for example, cryptocurrency. And associated with that come additional risks and additional complexities for regulators to be managing, both in, again, in terms of the existing players and for new players coming into the space. And the potential for loss is not small. Even if we think about two recent big examples that members will be well familiar with, one being VBS and another being Mirror Trading International, which was a crypto asset scheme, if we can call it that, we really are talking about losses into the billions. And these are losses which are borne by, in the case of VBS, it was municipalities, so there's a big service delivery impact, as well as just the man on the street. In the case of Mirror Trading International, it was mainly retail investors. And that's coming purely out of people's pockets. So we have, and we continue, I mean, I can talk from the position of the FSCA, we continue to interrogate how we can be bringing efficiencies into the organization. And that means much more focused commitment of our staff to their areas of expertise and work, a much more focused work plan and work agenda, as has been described and is articulated in our regulatory strategy, which I think has already been shared with members. And bringing in cost efficiencies through increased reliance on digital infrastructure especially. So if you think about the size, the volume of the number of entities that we are regulating, we are, as the FSCA, responsible for tens of thousands of entities. And then if you think about what that means in terms of the intensity that we need to be looking at understanding business models, understanding practices of these entities, that does take a resource capability. And part of that requires we're a service organization as it is, so it requires intense skills within or amongst our staff. It also does require significant investment into our IT infrastructure going forward. And I think members, if you haven't seen already, that is something that we could also be extending and talking through in terms of our budget. I'm sure there would be questions on this as well, just the shift as we progress onto a much more digital rich organization as well, which there will be higher upfront costs, and this speaks to the special levy, higher upfront costs, but what it means over the longer term is a much more efficient organization, one which can cater for an increasingly complex, increasingly growing financial sector without bringing continued additions over time to the cost base. So those are just some of my initial thoughts. I think there had been questions around the small businesses, and I think Momo's right in terms of emphasizing that the numbers look big when you look at them in isolation. When you look at them relative to the size of the bigger businesses, it does put things into context somewhat. So if we think about the example of a bank, a larger bank, and I'll use one of the what traditionally was a big four bank, we're talking about a revenue in around 25 billion, so above 20 billion rand, of which the charge that we are talking about here from an FSCA perspective is a maximum of 20 million. that is for an entity which also has a staff base of, again, tens of thousands of staff, very complicated systems that we are having to monitor and surveil. If we are to do that effectively, it does require this fairly intense resource allocation as well. For the smaller players, and I think this point has been spoken to, but of course we would welcome further exploration on this. We have done additional assessments into some of the smaller players, and I think the smallest of those arguably would be a one-man FSP, a financial service provider, which is currently regulated in terms of the phase framework. And there, what we, the calculations that we did show that even for the one-man FSP, we are talking about a charge, which I think it was under 500 Rand per month, I think, and it was roughly equivalent or in the same ballpark, and we can get the figures as needs be, to in fact the commitments to the industry association. So I think these things do need to be looked at comparatively, especially noting that even for an FSP, even for a one-man shop, that we need to make sure that the sales practices, the advice being given to clients really holds up, and that we also, that's on the one end, that's for the professional market. On the other hand, need to make sure that we protect against the likes of fraud, which is highly prevalent, unfortunately, in our sector as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Catherine. Let me get the three stakeholders who also made submissions to make comments. I will give them not more than 5 minutes each because they've already made submissions. It will be Strat or Straight, SAIA, and FIA. Let's start Straight. Who's there from Straight? Alan, are there representatives from Straight here?
Yes, Chair. I think she's just switched the mic.
I switched on my mic. I'm not so sure. My camera doesn't seem to be working, so I apologize for that. My name is Fiona Hattel, and I am the head of legal risk and compliance from a Straight perspective. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the committee, and thank you for the feedback provided with regards to the response to the comments that we have submitted. Having listened to the feedback and also just listening to the various submissions made, from our perspective, to provide financial resources in support of the regulatory and supervisory functions that the various regulators will be performing under the Twin Peaks model. And we appreciate and understand the importance, not just from a financial sector perspective as role players in the sector, but also from a consumer perspective and the need to protect consumers, given the consequences felt as a result of the 2008 financial crisis. I think our position in terms of the comments that we've submitted, if I can summarize them high level, just speaks to proportionality. We do play a significant role within the financial markets, and we acknowledge our responsibility in terms of ensuring that the market can operate in a sustainable manner and in a manner where there is confidence in not just the infrastructures that make up the financial market, but also the regulatory functions that oversee and supervise the financial markets. From a proportionality perspective, looking at our current levies and the quantum of those levies, and then looking at the forward levies based on the calculations contained in the bill, our view was that, and still remains, that there is a need for proportionality in terms of what we would be paying going forward. I appreciate the comments made in terms of the smaller entities that would be coming in, as well as the comments made by Catherine Gibson with regards to viewing the levies from a comparative perspective. The request to the committee is, in considering all of the comments and final submission and the way forward, just the proportionality in terms of the quantum, specifically the difference between the current value that we pay and the future value that we would be paying, just having a view with regards to that or taking that into consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Fiona. Let's move to Saia, S-A-I-A. Alan, are they there in the platform?
I'm just checking, Chair, but the person from Sahia that I've been corresponding with was on earlier. I'll just check again.
Okay.
Yes, Chair, there's an Itu Mileng Rapulane from Sahia.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair, through you. I was just waiting for my other colleague, considering that slide. Would like to say something. My name is Ntwaki Ngwenya. I'm the legal specialist within SAIA, with me Zitu Mileng Rapulane and Sukemba Palakgang. From our side, I think with the full substance and details, and still remains issues, we'll take it to the industry, and it is what it is, and we'll take it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the committee, and thanks to the National Treasury for the comprehensive feedback. Thank you.
Thanks, Ntswaki. FIA.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to raise our issues with you today. My name is Samantha Williams. I'm the Head of Legal and Regulatory Affairs for the FIA. We take on board the feedback provided by Treasury, and we thank you for the concession and the consideration granted around the exemption process. As we noted in our submission, it is an unwieldy process, and for many numbers of financial services providers to make exemption application becomes incredibly onerous. So we thank you for consideration in that regard. I think two key points that we'd specifically like to make with regard to the feedback provided this morning. First of all, relates to the point that the costs for a small regulated entity are lower. We specifically made the point in our submission that, in fact, with the special levy, we're looking at potentially a 22% increase in those levies from previous years. And in the current economic climate, that is exorbitant. And I think while there has been consideration given to the fact that lower fees are applicable to smaller entities, these increases are still large. I mean, for larger entities, we're looking up to sort of 40% increases, 38% increases. We've included varying scales across different sizes of FSPs just to demonstrate what those increases actually mean. So I think there does need to be greater consideration given to the actual amount of those increases. It's not that we are not understanding of the fact that a better supervisory approach needs to be applied and that obviously the consumer needs to be protected. But under the current economic climate, those increase levels are very, very high. The final point that I'd like to make also is specifically that, unlike insurers, intermediaries are not able to pass on any of these increased costs to their clients. It was noted, obviously, that insurers can do that, but that the end result is ultimately a better supervised market and better run financial services entities. But Commission is regulated in the intermediary space, and we are not able to pass on any of these additional costs. So the costs of running these businesses just increase and increase, and there is no way for these entities to recoup these levies. I think from my perspective, those are the key points that I wish to make. I'm not sure if my colleague Giselle Funamova would like to add anything further.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Sam, and good morning, Chair, and good morning to all the honourable members and stakeholders on this call. I think just in addition to the comments that was made by my colleague, as we indicated in our submission, Chair, this is the gateway for entrepreneurship in our sector, and we are finding that small businesses are finding it incredibly difficult to enter this market, especially with the pressure around transformation. We are finding that these costs just remain, you know, they're just increasing all the time, which makes it very difficult, Chair, for new businesses to enter this market. So we just want to make that point. But Chair, again, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay. Thanks, FIA, for your input. Any member would like to make a comment or ask a question before we move towards the closure? And ask before I request the treasurer to make comments, then we close. If not, over to you, treasurer, and I make closing remarks.
Bukile, do you want to come in?
Thanks, Mama. And Chair, I will, let me just turn on my camera. Chair, a lot of the substantive points that have been raised in the presentations we've dealt with in great detail, clearly in our detailed responses. So I won't go over those again in too much detail. What I will do maybe very briefly, Chair, is just summarize some of the key points that we've made in the presentation, and then just highlight where those relate to some of the specific comments that have been provided by the commentators. The first one, Chair, is just that, you know, as highlighted by Momo and Kathy, effective regulation and financial stability are critical for economic growth and is a public good. And Chair, in that regard, we've been seeking to balance the cost of regulation with the benefits that accrue to the individual customers as well as the system as a whole. And we had made this point in our initial presentation about the huge costs and where that cost is born of weak and ineffective regulation. Secondly, just the levies are on the lower end compared to peer jurisdictions with similar size and complexity of financial system and regulatory architecture, in this case being Twin Peaks, and that the basis of the levies are on a cost recovery basis only. Additional accommodation has been made with particularly in respect to the PA, where the costs are absorbed by the Reserve Bank more broadly. And that it's our view, Chair, that we are at the limit of where we can squeeze out greater efficiencies. As you'd note, Chair, we've also included mechanisms to promote small businesses and boost competition, and this relates to the last comment by the FIA. Those mechanisms are through the exemption framework that we've built in. We understand that this can be unwieldy and bureaucratic at times, Chair, and you know we will always seek to improve and reduce that bureaucracy. But the existence of that mechanism, Chair, is what we've put in place to mitigate the concerns that have been articulated in particular by the last commentator. In addition, Chair, we have an important proportionality mechanism built in. This was the comment made by the Strait, who are the dominant market player in their field. Chair. And that proportionality is that larger institutions and institutions that dominate specific spaces do pay more than smaller ones. And that is really aimed at leveling out the playing field and helping a competition. Let me stop there, Momo, and pass to you and the Fiske and PA in case they have additional comments.
Yeah. Chair, if I may come in. Chair, I think there's been engagement going on with the FIA, and I know that they are amongst the smaller players. I think, like Bukile has pointed out, I think there's some differences in the way we understand and they understand the base. And, you know, we're quite happy to meet them again. We've had many meetings. We don't think that the actual level will be as high as they are suggesting. But, you know, we're willing to just have a quick meeting with them before the next session. We certainly have some numbers that we could also share on that. So we can just look at how it pays in, how those increases will pay in. But I mean, let me say, you know, the whole thing in the financial sector too is about intermediaries and the impact on costs to the customer, by the way, and their role, I guess, comes in and the whole role of financial advice. I'm saying there's some deeper issues here, so we need to take all of that into account, but we're quite happy to meet with them. I think with the other players, you know, and when it comes to any form of tax or charge, I think, you know, the important thing is to hear them and to be satisfied what the impact is. I think where a lot of the representatives sit for their organizations, I don't think they'll get a bonus. And things may be worse if they were to come here and say, we're happy with the charges. I expect them to be unhappy. And like with all taxes, you just hope that everybody is equally unhappy because we've been fair in how we're dispensing this tough medicine. But it's a price that needs to be paid if we want a safer financial sector and we want to make sure that we protect customers better. Thank you, Chair. I don't know if Cathy Gibson wants to come in from Fiske's side.
Chair, through you.
Okay. I see somebody raising a hand, written Ulaud Machani. Who's that?
Good morning, Chair. I'm from the Prudential Authority. My name is Ulaud Machani.
Okay. Do you want to make an input?
Yes, please.
Okay, do that before Catherine gives me.
Okay, so on the side of the Prudential Authority, Chair, so firstly, I just wanted to mention that we are aligned, fully aligned and in agreement with the input made by our National Treasury colleagues as well as our FSCA colleagues. So just 2 points I wanted to mention from the FSCA. From the PA side, Chair. The first one is that something that maybe members may not be aware of is the significant amount of cost that goes into investigations into illegal deposit taking, as well as the unregistered insurance business. Now, these are costs that as regulators, we cannot actually budget for because the numbers will vary from year to year. There was a year where we got about 40 complaints of illegal deposit taking, and other years we get 28 complaints. In the last year, we got about 10 complaints. So it's very difficult to budget. So at any point, we don't know actually how much we will spend on investigating this either illegal deposit taking or unregistered insurance business. So I just wanted to add that, Chair, as it's something that was not touched by my colleagues earlier. The second point, well, specific to the PA, is that although it's good and welcome, we are saying that the sub subsidizes at least 40% of the cost of the PA. What we need to realize is that some of the international commentators and international assessments, such as the FSEP, the Financial Sector Assessment Program, which is a program or an assessment run by the IMF and the World Bank, they did raise a concern of this reliance that the PA has on the South African Reserve Bank. And one of their findings and recommendations is that going forward, as the PA, we need to consider fully recovering our costs via levies rather than relying on the South African Reserve Bank. So I just wanted to point this out, Chair, because I think there might be pressure increasing in future in terms of the PA fully recovering their costs from the levies rather than relying on the Reserve Bank. But being that said, Chair, also just to point out that Section 51 of the FSRA actually mandates the SARB to cover some of the cost of the PA. But just wanted to make that point. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Ulaut. Catherine?
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to support further the inputs made by our DDG and emphasize our commitment to supporting small businesses within the sector. This is a crucial part of our strategy going forward because it is fundamental to supporting a healthy financial sector through being a competitive financial sector and a representative financial sector. And this view and our proposed interventions and work that we've already initiated and we're underway with is in itself articulated through our financial inclusion strategy and our financial transformation strategy, transformation of the strategy that pertains to transformation of the financial sector and our envisaged much stronger role in regards to the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Again, just to emphasize, this additional support that's being envisaged also comes with a cost. And so again, this is what we are needing to balance is the strength of drive of being able to promote and ensure a trusted financial system that works for all South Africans against the costs of doing so and making sure that we are not, and I think one of the comments earlier around that government agencies have a tendency to just carry on growing and inflating, and we are very mindful of that and very strict in the way that interrogate even our own aspirations in that. And we would welcome any, if there are further requests, would welcome further communication or explanation in terms of the way in which we work, because I think ultimately that's what this comes down to. It's one thing just to look at the number. It's another thing to say, well, what are you getting? What is the value from this regulator for that number? And we would, if needs be, we would welcome coming to engage with you on that, or if the request is, we can submit information for your consideration in that regard as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Kitchen. Let's move towards closing the meeting. Momo, I think what must be clear from the committee members is that we agree with the rationale for regulations. We can't have a lawless society. The role of the state is very critical to make sure that the sector is properly regulated. Be that as it may, what we are raising and what is also raised by small players is that we should be aware of the socio-economic impact. If it was at cabinet level, they talk about SEERs as to the impact that this is going to have on customers and small players. It's not so long that we have passed the fiscal framework report in Parliament. And there were very critical issues that were being raised about the economic hardships that the South African citizens are going through, even before COVID caused the havoc to the economy. There were problems in regard to the economic performance prior March 2020. And COVID worsened the situation, whereby more than 2.5 million people lost their jobs. Above that, petrol has been increasing. Today, we have got a serious conflict in Europe between Russia and Ukraine. You know those countries, they are among the biggest producers of wheat. So the price of bread might be affected. They also produce a lot of fertilizers. So there's a lot that is affecting citizens out there. So anything that has to do with money, we can't just close one eye as this committee and only look at the regulations and not look at the socio-economic impact of those regulations. So what we'll request from you, Comrade Momo, and your team, before we take this report to Parliament, because now we're at the stage where you are responding to stakeholders, we'll take the report to the next level where we'll deliberate as the committee and adopt the report. It will be reported from Treasury and your entities to write to us a narrative, a simple report on the socio-economic impact of what we're doing. How will this affect consumers or customers, as you put it? It's very important. We can't just close one eye. We pass the bill. The following day out there, there's an outcry from the citizens that Parliament has passed this bill and it has not taken into consideration its socio-economic impact. How will it impact on the small players? Is it not going to move, take out small players from the game and only be left with the big players? Yes, as you said, they might not be here. They can afford. Affordability is not a problem to them. But the small players and those who want to enter into the sector, will they be able to afford to put the infrastructure and whole range of other things? So we can't close our eyes to those issues that have got socio-economic impact on the consumers and the small players. So working with our research team here, led by Dr. Zakele Sope and his team, please write us that report with evidence. It must be a well-researched report with clear numbers, the figures. It should not just be a narrative. You might take a case study of one small player. If this goes ahead, how will it impact such a small player? Because if you make, you do research, we work with the case studies and provide evidence. So that is very important for us as members of Parliament, because we represent the public out there, which is going through very difficult hardships. People are going through very difficult situation as we speak right now. So that is our interest as lawmakers. Thanks very much. Alan, are there announcements before we close?
No, Chair. Just to say that the deliberations on these two bills is scheduled for next week, Wednesday. Meeting is from 9 to 12. Thank you.
Okay, so before Wednesday or Tuesday, the latest, we should have received the input of Treasury on issues that I have raised, the socio-economic impact of the bills that we are going to pass on, all the issues raised about customers and the small players. Thanks very much, honorable members, National Treasury, all entities reporting to Treasury, Provincial Authority and others, the media and the public in general. Thanks very much for your participation. The meeting is adjourned.